Hey there, folks. Welcome to Rock and Rally Tennis, where it's all tennis, all the time. I'm James Lamb. Follow us on Twitter at Rock and Rally. That's rock underscore and underscore rally. And on Facebook at facebook.com/Rock and Rally Tennis. Rock and Rally Tennis podcast episode number 123 is brought to you by CareerWonder.com, the ultimate career resource site featuring video interviews of professionals from a wide array of industries, sharing the stories, journeys, and insights about their careers and jobs at CareerWonder.com. Well, welcome to another segment of Match Points, where we answer questions from our subscribers. This is Match Points segment number 13. If you'd like to send us a question, you can email us at askme@rockandrallytennis.com or message us on our Facebook page at facebook.com/rockandrallytennis or tweet us at rockandrally. That's rock underscore and underscore rally. Kenny from Del Mar, California wants to know, can Novak Djokovic get back to the top of the men's game? Hey, Kenny, thanks for your question. You know, from what I've seen of Djokovic's play recently, starting with the French Open and during this first week of Wimbledon, it appears he's back on a good trajectory towards regaining top form. Physically, he seems to be healthy and elbow pain-free. More importantly for Djokovic, his desire to compete for each and every point appears to be very close to where it needs to be. Now, as I've talked about in previous podcasts, Djokovic is the game's supreme counterpuncher. He does not blast opponents off the court. Instead, he applies pressure and wears them down by employing a mind-boggling ability to defend and seamlessly transition to offense from defense. Because Djokovic does not have that big finishing shot off of the forehand or backhand, it's critical for him to have the mindset to fight and make his opponents work for every point. Now, Djokovic has made it into the second week of Wimbledon, which is great. Now, if he can stay on course for the next several weeks, I believe Djokovic will be one of the favorites to win the U.S. Open and eventually return to the top of the men's game. I mean, we've all seen how dominant he can be when he is clicking on all cylinders. The Djokovic we've seen in recent weeks looks like a player well on his way back up to the top of men's tennis, so we certainly wish him the best. Dave from Queens, New York writes, I've been a teaching pro for the past 10 years. I teach mostly juniors and some adults mainly through clinic sessions. I'm wondering what trends you are seeing as it relates to tennis instruction. Hey, Dave. Well, a lot of things have changed over the past decade, and I'll touch on just a couple of them. You know, advancements in technology have been a big positive in providing instructors with a plethora of additional tools. An obvious example, video cameras are ubiquitous these days, as virtually every smartphone is equipped with a camera. Now, this enables instructors to provide more in-depth analysis and, frankly, be even more effective when it comes to improving and refining their players' games. Now, another trend I feel is important to talk about is the impact of the power game as we know it today. Now, in my view, this particular trend is not necessarily positive in all aspects as it pertains to how young players today are learning the game. Now, these days, it's all about first-strike tennis. A big first serve, a big forehand, or big groundies overall. As such, a lot of teaching pros face increasing pressure by juniors and their parents to develop these skills around this particular play style. What is not so positive about this infatuation with the power game and first strike tennis is that the art of point construction has become one of its main casualties. This in turn has led to a recessed sense of urgency among players and coaches to spend the time and resources to adequately develop variety and versatility of a player's game. Now, I can only speak for myself, but I find it rather unfortunate how often I come across a parent, player, or coach these days who on this particular topic say something along the lines of, well, if the player develops a big serve in forehand, then they can control the rallies. Well, yeah, no kidding. And to be clear, I have no objections to helping juniors or anyone for that matter develop offensive weapons and skills. But the reality is that many players are not going to be physically nor mentally capable of properly executing this brand of tennis. I mean, if you consider just the physical aspect alone, for example, I mean, players come in various sizes, shapes, and athletic abilities. There are always going to be players who, no matter the quality and or quantity of instruction or how hard they want it and practice, will never fully develop that consistent big booming serve or forehand they can hit for winners from any part of the court. Unfortunately, that does not discourage them from trying to play that style, nor some instructors from relentlessly pushing that brand of tennis to try to satisfy their clients. The result of relentlessly pushing the power game across the board is what we are seeing on the pro tours today. Over the past decade or so, especially in the past 5 or 6 years, tennis has become predominantly a game of all offense all the time, with few exceptions. Personally, I'm just not sure that's a good thing for tennis. Now, I'll limit my comments to that for now, but I will expand on this topic in future podcasts. Thanks for your question, Dave. Folks, thanks for your questions. Keep them coming. I look forward to addressing your questions in future Match Point segments. As a reminder, if you'd like to send us a question, email us at askme@rockandrallytennis.com or message us on our Facebook page at facebook.com/rockandrallytennis or tweet us at rockandrally. That's rock_and_rally. Well, that's all for this episode, folks. Thanks for joining us at Rock and Rally Tennis. Please subscribe to our podcast at rockandrallytennis.com. I'm James Lynn. See you next time.